Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you would like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. 844-322-2742. The same number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. This week, this month, we're looking at the idea of reconciliation in the life of a Christian. And in this week, we're using Philippians 1, 15 through, I believe it's 23, and taking Paul's, that part of Paul's letter apart a little bit and showing just how strong this idea is. Yesterday, we looked at verses 15 through 18, which is talking about Jesus. You know, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And Paul goes through this litany of things that make Jesus superior. He's superior not because he accomplished something, but because he's simply inherently superior. The reason he accomplished what he accomplished is because he is superior. It turns around the way the normal human approach is. Well, today I want to look at verses 19 and 20. Now, why did we talk about Jesus? For this reason. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So Jesus is this infinitely superior being. And he is that because God was pleased to have all of God's fullness dwell in him. And yet, as we know from Philippians, Jesus emptied himself of his godly prerogatives and lived in dependence as a human being.
Right.
And so here we have this God-man, 100% God, 100% man, and yet the God part of him was subordinated somehow that I can't explain, but was subordinated, and he lived in dependence. As a result of living in dependence, even though the fullness was in him, God, through Jesus, reconciled to himself all things. Now notice that this word reconcile is related to the other word for reconcile or reconciliation, but it's stronger because in this case, what this word means is that God is restoring a relationship of peace which has been disturbed. It's not just reconciliation that you and I are reconciled to each other. It's God looking down at us and saying, you couldn't reconcile yourself to me if your life depended on it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to reconcile myself to you. I'm going to take the initiative to create this reconciliation, to rebuild a relationship that was lost, that was disturbed. It's not a relationship among equals. It's a relationship of God to his created beings. And he did this through Jesus. He reconciled all things to himself through Jesus by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So what God did at Calvary was to reconcile us to himself. That was God's choice, God's initiative, God's power implemented through Jesus' sacrifice. You and I had nothing to do with that. God loved us so much that he said, I'm going to reach down and reconcile those people. And Satan, you can't do a thing about this. Just try and watch what I do. And that's exactly what he did. And so because of who Jesus is, as we looked at yesterday, he could be the means through whom God reconciled us to himself. That's power.
That is power. That's good news. That's good stuff, Richard. Thank you. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Richard Piper is here. I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to the broadcast. We have plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you. If you had a question that you've been holding on to for a while and wouldn't turn loose, this is a good time to do that. 844-322-2742. If there's some issue you'd like to discuss with us, that's the same number, too. 844-322-2742. Give us a call. Want to hear from you. In the meantime, guys, let's go to Livermore, California. We're going to talk to William. William, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Richard.
Hello there. How are you today?
Last
I'm fine. Yourself?
Doing great. Doing great. Thanks.
Great. Good. Listen, last week you had an email question from a guy who had been speaking to a group who basically told him that to pronounce the name of Jesus in any way other than the Hebrew pronunciation of Yeshua was basically blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, if that were true, then wouldn't God on the day of Pentecost, when he first gave his spirit to the apostles and had them preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Jews gathered at Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, wouldn't he have had them preach it in Hebrew rather than all their native tongues?
Well, I've actually heard that argument, that they actually spoke either in Hebrew or in Aramaic, and that Luke recorded it in Greek so that the rest of the folks could understand it. That's a stretch.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that original speech, right? Peter didn't write it down and vet it through a bunch of people before giving it. This was a spontaneous explosion of the Holy Spirit inside of him, bringing the truth to bear on who Jesus is and what he accomplished. And so, like we talked about last week, I think these arguments that people get into are really just distractions. Jesus is Jesus, regardless of who we, what name we use. I mean, what are you going to say to someone in China or Fiji, or pick a country, and in their native language, the name for Jesus is going to be different than Yeshua? Are you saying they can't be saved? Do they have to become Jews in order to be saved? It's the same argument Paul was dealing with in Galatians, right? You say you're saved, but, you know, until you actually become true Jews by being circumcised, then you can't really be saved. Well, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's worse than ridiculous. Paul said that people who teach that kind of a gospel are deserving of being eternally condemned. And so it's very strong. And so what I try to do with, and I didn't used to do this, but I try to be merciful. I mean, there are good things to learn from our Jewish brethren. There are wonderful things to learn out of the Old Testament. But if all of the things we're learning in those two contexts are not pointing to the Jesus who came and is revealed in the Gospels, who lived and died and was buried and rose again and then went to heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit, if it doesn't conclude there, then we've got no gospel at all.
Yeah, but Luke does take the time to point out that all the people that had gathered noticed that the apostles were speaking in
different languages,
in the tongues of all the nations.
Yes.
Gathered.
Yes.
And in fact, that was one of the things he quotes them as saying, you know, how is this possible? Aren't these uneducated fishermen? How are they speaking in our own tongues?
Yes.
That was, you know, one of the signs of salvation. That
yes.
Even though they didn't know how to speak in their tongues, they did.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that one of the big failings of Judaism in the time of Jesus and then in the soon after, during the time of the apostles, the early days in Jerusalem, one of their big failings was a sense of arrogance and exclusivity. They would not share the story of Messiah with anyone other than Jews. And so all these people show up, and the Holy Spirit says, oh, I'm going to take care of that. And all these other languages are used so that people hear it in their native tongues, and they're amazed, just like you say. I mean, it blew them away that they could hear about this Messiah guy, this Jesus guy, in their own language.
Yeah, and also I see that as a fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant, in which he told Abraham that through his seed all nations would be blessed.
Yes,
if
absolutely.
They were to speak the name of Jesus only in Hebrew, then that would mean only that those who spoke Hebrew would be blessed.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, as soon as you put it in terms like that, it shows how ridiculous the argument is. Right. That's like any Protestant saying, if you don't come to faith in my Baptist church, you're not a Christian, or if you don't come to faith in my Lutheran church, you're not a Christian. It's crazy. That just cannot be true. All we're invited to is to come to Jesus as we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, William.
Great to hear from you. 844-322-2742, of course, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time. We want to hear from you. In the meantime, let's go to Piatt, Arkansas. I'm sorry, Idaho. Talk to Lavana. Hi, Lavana. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question. Your open statement said that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And does that, in, you know, Adam sinned and he was no longer perfect. And in Genesis 5, 1 through 4, it says that when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of his son, Seth.
Yes.
And he was born in Adam's likeness, not in God's.
Mm-hmm.
So is that why Jesus, the virgin birth, he bypassed that sin nature of Adam?
Absolutely correct. That is absolutely right. Jesus had to be born, as Paul describes him in Romans 5 and 6. He had to be born as the second Adam, not as the second Richard or the second Abraham or the second David. He had to be born without a sin nature. He had to be born spiritually alive. And the only way to do that is to bypass the human reproductive process, because all of that genetics would have been passed on from Joseph and Mary to Jesus. Instead, mm-hmm. he was born pure. And I would argue that, and this is speculation, so you don't have to take it, but I would argue that Jesus was implanted in her womb, that she didn't contribute her DNA and, you know, half human from her and half God from God. Jesus had to not be human like any of us, because Mary, and our Catholic friends would disagree, but Mary had a sin nature just like Joseph did.
Yeah, I've wondered about that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, now then, we, you know, to be born again, we have to accept Jesus Christ and have faith in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So that would include believing in the virgin birth, correct?
Yes, I believe so. The issue is who Jesus is. And,
yes,
and
right.
In order to accept the real Jesus, you have to accept him as the second Adam, not as just some other guy. And,
correct.
And so the virgin birth is critical to our understanding of who Jesus is and why he is fully God and fully man and yet not
right.
sinful.
And his, you have to believe in the virgin birth and his death and resurrection
mm-hmm.
and the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Faith in all.
Because
that,
that whole thing is wrapped up in what some theologians call the Christ event. Everything
right.
that Jesus was, whatever it took in our timeline, that whole thing was actually an internal and eternal invasion of the sin problem and a complete victory over it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's some people that are just picking and choosing what they'll believe in. They say they have faith in Jesus, but to have faith in Jesus is believing in all these things that you just mentioned.
Correct, but it's still focused on Jesus. I'm not believing in
right.
Jesus and Mary. I'm believing in Jesus uh-huh. as described in the Bible as the son of Mary and Joseph, and yet not the son of Mary and Joseph, if you understand what I mean there.
And so Jesus was God's only begotten son, and the rest of us are adopted into God's family. We're not born physically.
Correct.
Correct.
We are not born physically. We are born spiritually into the family.
Right.
And
we're
the,
born again.
The picture of adoption in the New Testament, in the Roman world, is far stronger than the picture of adoption we have in our own time. In Roman world, to be adopted meant that you completely gave up your old identity and assumed a brand new identity, never to go back. And so you very rarely, at least as far as I've read, you very rarely saw children being adopted. What you saw was a young adult being adopted into a family. This person represents something that I, you know, I need an heir, and I don't have one, or I don't trust my current son, so I'm going to adopt this son. And it was probably a young adult, and it was a very serious deal, because you stopped being a Smith at that moment and became a Jones. There was no going back. And so that picture of adoption and born again is, both of them are very powerful, very positive pictures of what it means to come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, now that brings into mind another scripture that Jesus says, whoever leaves his mother and brothers and sisters to follow him will have other mothers and brothers and sisters. So you are leaving your fleshly family.
Yes.
And you're joining God's family, and that family comes first. And if your fleshly family doesn't follow Jesus, there's a separation there.
Yes, and you see that in practice. People who accept Jesus and their families don't understand, it can cause a great rift in the family. I've known of people who were disowned by their families. In the Middle East today, if a Muslim person chooses Jesus, they can literally lose their life.
Correct.
But they're doing it. I mean, one of the places where the gospel is growing faster than anywhere else in the world is in the typically Muslim Middle Eastern countries. Iran, I've heard, is having an explosion of Christianity, although it is expressly illegal. That's the power of the gospel. Not even the threat of death can stop a person from accepting Jesus because of who he is.
Yeah. Lovato, we appreciate your call. It's good to hear from you. Hope you keep listening and call again. Time on the clock, open lines, 844-322-2742. You know, friends, getting the word out, when you partner with Basic Gospel, it's just what you do. We love sharing that Jesus is alive, offering his love and his grace, his life, and his forgiveness. You know, we hear calls practically every day from people seeking clarity and truth. And if what you hear on Basic Gospel, if what you've heard has made a difference in your life, we ask you to share in the blessing by joining us and supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. That's the main reason to give through Basic Gospel. But for your gift of any amount this month, you're going to receive a copy of Bob Christopher's CD and study guide, Reconciled for Life. Just click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or donate by phone by calling and speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number, 844-412-2742. Make your gift today, friends, to keep the good news on the air and receive your copy of Reconciled for Life. Again, 844-322-2742. And, friends, we have something very, very special coming up for 40 of you. Just 40 Basic Gospel listeners can take part in this, and we're going to hear about it right now.
The sound of the shofar, and Israel beckons you. February 7th through the 18th, 2017, Basic Gospel invites you to join us for the spiritual adventure of a lifetime. 10 days in the Holy Land, the land of the Bible. Remember Mount Carmel, where Elijah battled the prophets of Baal? We'll be there. And the Jezreel Valley, future site of the Battle of Armageddon. We'll boat ride on the Sea of Galilee and hear the scriptures read on the Mount of Beatitudes, just as the followers of Jesus did 2,000 years ago. We'll visit the Jordan Valley in the city of Jerusalem, walking the same paths walked by Jesus and the disciples. From the panoramic view from the Mount of Olives to quiet moments of reflection in the Garden of Gethsemane. Across the Kidron Valley to the house of Caiaphas, we'll stand where Jesus suffered on the scourging floor and walk the Via Dolorosa toward Calvary and the steps of Jesus. It will be the spiritual adventure of a lifetime, and you are invited February 7th through the 18th, 2017. Click the Events tab at basicgospel.net for complete information and registration. Space is limited to 40, and registrations have already begun. So don't delay. Reserve your place today. Again, click Events at basicgospel.net. Let's explore the Holy Land together for the spiritual adventure of a lifetime.
And we're hoping to see many of you, at least 40 of you, on that trip. It's going to be just a wonderful, wonderful time. Take advantage of it, friends, and don't be left behind. 844-322-2742. Time on the clock remaining, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Richard, a question from Vincente, who dropped us an email. It says, I've been part of my congregation since 2004. I've seen people come and go. I realize that they are actually good people, but they left. I've seen the same pattern for a while now. I don't even feel part of my church anymore. I haven't stopped giving, praying, or reading the Word. I have learned enough to see that there are a lot of things that are wrong, and I'm not sure that why I'm still here. What would be the best step for me, considering these particular situations in that church?
Well, there's a lot there,
yeah.
A lot of things going on. First of all, I would say to Vincente, praise God that he's giving you some discernment, that you're not just blissfully wandering into church and wandering out of church and not participating in anything. What you're doing is actually being engaged in the church, and you see it warts and all. And that's one of the things that the Spirit does for people who are walking by faith, is the Spirit shows us the warts and all. So first of all, be thankful for that. Secondly, maybe, and I, you know, this is between you and the Spirit, but maybe the Spirit is impressing upon you to go talk to someone in a position of authority, maybe the pastor or one of the board members or one of the elders of the church, to ask about why certain things are happening and why so many people are leaving. Maybe there's something that you can do to help. Maybe the Spirit is telling you not to do that. Maybe the Spirit is telling you this is unhealthy. It's time to leave. This is something you have to deal with personally with the Spirit. He's taking you on a trip, on a journey, and as you walk by faith, he is going to reveal his will to you in your context and what will work best for the body of Christ. This isn't about judging anybody. This isn't about you being right and they're wrong. None of that. This is about how best can I serve the body of Christ with my giftings, and what part of the body of Christ do I fit in? Not every church is the proper home for every person, because we're all the body of Christ, not just individual churches. And so your gifts and talents could be better used someplace else or better used in a different context within the current church. So don't get discouraged. Thank God for the discernment, and thank him for leading you to the next step. What is it that I should be doing next? How should I engage with people here or engage with people elsewhere?
Absolutely. Vincent, I hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone to pose your question while we're on the air live, drop us an email. You can do that by addressing us at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net. To the Bronx, let's talk to Fred. Fred, welcome to the broadcast. We're running short on time, so give us your question very quickly. Hello, Fred. Well, I guess, Fred, here we are. Okay. You're on the air now, Fred. Give us your question.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Go ahead.
Very quickly. I hear you guys speaking of the second Adam. Shouldn't we be calling Jesus the last Adam?
Well, he is the last Adam. Let me get over here to a passage. Okay, so, but the gift is not like the trespass. So Paul is talking about Adam in Romans 5, and then he compares Adam to Jesus. And so there is a sense in which he's the second Adam. But later in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the last Adam. There are only two Adams. There's the first Adam, Adam of Adam and Eve, and there's the second and or last Adam, Jesus Christ. The issue is the hero motif. The first Adam failed, and all of humanity failed with him. The second or last Adam, Jesus, succeeded and gives the option of success to all humanity as a result of his success. So that's probably the easiest way to take it. We're out of time. Thanks for your call. I wish I could go deeper on it.
Maybe at a later time. And for those of you who called but didn't get through, we hope you'll try us again tomorrow a little bit earlier in the broadcast. We would love to hear from you, and we appreciate hearing from each of those of you who write and who call to be a part of Basic Gospel. Well, we are out of time. So for Richard Pfeiffer, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, Bob Davis, saying God bless you. We'll be back for another live edition tomorrow at the same time. Hope you'll be here too. Bye-bye.